Welcome to the November 1st edition of the Zouch and Wild podcast. We are recording in the midst of Game 5 of the World Series. So by the time this podcast is released, they'll probably be getting geared up to play Game 6 if everything goes to plan. But before we jump into college football, which I know everyone's super excited to talk about, we had some great games over the weekend and some great games coming up, some AP poll action we'll talk about. We'll talk about kind of the chaos that's ensuing in the SEC. But I want to get your reaction of what just happened in that fifth inning, Zach, as our resident Yankees fan, before we even jump into college football.
Well, Aaron Judge dropped a routine fly ball, which is to start everything off. You just might not want to have three errors when the people coming up to bat are Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman, or Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, and Freddie Freeman, and Teoscar Hernandez.
It doesn't seem like a recipe for success, in my opinion, right, or anyone's.
Especially
opinion.
When you're legitimately Garrett Cole's dominating, people are getting hits. Not great. I was sitting there trying to plan if I'm going to go to the BSU game or the stay home and watch the Yankees game. And now it's looking like I might be at the BSU game because they have no momentum.
they have no momentum. And we could see amazing crash outs on the numerous live streams, whether it be the John Boy or the Barstool, that are going on right now. This could be an all-time crash out night.
This is a bigger momentum relapse than what's associated with the Bureau. Like, that's where we're at right now.
So, that's funny.
Hopefully by the end of the show, they're winning.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. We'll see in our faces. And yeah, like I said, we are recording this on the Wednesday. So this is coming out on Friday. So it should be interesting to see what it is. You know what else is interesting, Zouch, that we're going to jump into first is the AP poll this week. I mean, I never take the AP poll as seriously as I think some others. Personally, I don't take it like any polls really seriously until the first college football playoff poll is released. But I think this is, and of course people are always going to bitch and moan about the AP poll, right? Like that's why it's there. But it feels like the bitching and moaning was bigger this week than normal.
Yeah. And I kind of agree with you. Like I'll look at it when it drops, but I don't know. Like, I don't put too much. I guess people think that it's kind of going to be reflective of what the college football poll will be. But, I don't know. Like, there's still so much season to be played that I don't necessarily think with 12 teams. Mm-hmm. Like, most of you know you're not going to be in the top four anyway. So, I don't know what you're – like, anyone who's seriously –
I don't know.
I guess maybe you, want that home game or something like that. But, yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. And, you know, when I saw the complaining online, I had to take a look at this for myself. And I see, I don't know about you, I checked this out and I really have two major issues and then one minor issue with this poll. The first two issues are just the two teams at the bottom of the top 25 need to be out. Missouri and Illinois are not top 25 teams, in my opinion. I mean, you got Colorado at 23, which I think's fine. They've beaten some really good squads. It's just, you know, I look at Colorado and it's like that Nebraska loss stings right now. Yeah. Like if they could have just somehow beat Nebraska, they would honestly probably be in the top 15 if we're being completely honest with their hype and stuff. But I don't like Illinois. Got boat raced by a good team. I really don't like Missouri. I mean, my Missouri pick to make the playoff just looks terrible. I mean, it just really does. What's the stat that they've been outscored 80 to 14 in the ranked SEC teams that they've played or something like that?
I mean, I guess Brady Cook came in hurt and got hurt again and running back was out and stuff like that. But they just don't. They look like that team that starts out in the top 10. You have a couple every year and not. You know, they don't finish even in the top 25, I would say, at this point. Like, they still got a lot of tough games and look lost. So
I think this is a team that's going to get left out of the first college football playoff ranking because there is some politicking with the AP. You know, you probably have a lot of people who pick them high and, you know, don't want to admit they're wrong because, you know, they're journalists and writers because that reflects poorly on them. So I'd probably substitute a school like Vanderbilt in for them. You know, maybe a Tulane's been playing well. Even a Louisville, I think, could be in there. The other thing that I want to talk about with this poll is that from like 7, essentially all the way to Boise State at 15. So from 7 to 14 is a lot of schools that think they should be higher. Like, yeah. And, you know, you take a look at this 7 to 13 right now, or 7 to 14, you could have put those schools in any order and it probably would have, like, people would have accepted it. You know, you got Tennessee, Notre Dame, BYU, A&M, Clemson, Iowa State, Indiana, and Alabama.
Yeah, like, any of those.
Yeah, any of those schools could, like, have an argument to be with that 7. I don't think anyone is questioning the, you know, it's interesting because it's like the top 6.5 I'm looking at. It's, you know, Tennessee wants to be, I think, in that upper echelon. In my opinion, I don't think they are there yet. But it's clear that after Texas, in my opinion, at least, there's a drop off.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, and even like you said, with Tennessee, we'll see with them. They do have the win over Alabama. But and we'll talk about it later, but like, I even have some concerns with like Penn State. I mean, I still have some with Ohio State too, because they didn't look great against Nebraska. There's no one I feel great about, honestly, still.
If you only watched Oregon the first 2 weeks of the season, like, maybe they just, like, can't play against the state of Idaho, and yeah. they just can't deal with potatoes and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, I think that this is what's been making this season so awesome. It's just, like, it's been a while. I mean, I'm trying to think of the last year. I mean, even last year when things got, like, really awesome, there were still some powerhouse schools. And, like, this year is, like, the first year in a while where it's been, like, there is not a clear-cut team that seems to have no weaknesses.
No, not at all. Not even close to being one of the – I mean, the Oregon, maybe, will be undefeated at the end of the season. But I don't even know, like –
But you turn on that Boise tape and you can see the weaknesses in Oregon. The defense can be susceptible to explosive plays.
Yeah, and exactly.
And if you pressure Gabriel, then they're susceptible on offense. Like, that's there hasn't been a team that hasn't shown their weaknesses.
Yeah, and I mean, in best case, I think you have one undefeated team after conference championships at this point. Because I don't like. I mean, that's all you're going to have, really, because even if Penn State and Oregon are both undefeated, they'll play each other. Like, I'm pretty sure Indiana plays Penn State. So, like, it's all going to work itself out. But we're getting close to, like, some of those top four teams even having two losses at this point is what I'm thinking. So.
That would be crazy. That would be absolutely crazy. Some other stuff I found funny about this poll. Zuch, even as a Boise State fan, them being ranked ahead of like LSU, Kansas State, and Ole Miss is just like, it doesn't even seem real. Like it's just crazy. Dude. Like, I wonder. Yes, I mean, we follow the JP poll, not a poll, power ratings model from Josh Pate, but he would have Boise down by more 20. And okay, I'm going to quote the great Jose Moreno right here. Army. If I say what I want to say, I'm in big trouble. So I am going to take the coward's way out and say what I'm going to say after the Notre Dame game.
Wait till that one.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and I know they killed Navy, but Navy also had like 7 turnovers. Like, Navy killed themselves in that game, really. Like, yeah, if you Navy... really look at it.
And I do think Army's better than Navy. I'll give Army that. And I do think they deserve to be ranked. I mean, like we said, and like if you followed the JP poll, Josh Pate, please go listen to him. Great podcast. But this is a ranking. So you're based on merit. You're not based on Vegas odds. So right. Army's deserved it. They beat everyone on their schedule. They're leading their conference. They totally deserve to be the second Group of 5 team right now ranked.
Oh, I agree. It's, I mean, Liberty's out. They lost to Kennesaw State or whoever it was.
Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Those freaks.
That they're
absolute
done.
Freaks in Virginia that are masquerading as a G5 school when they have the entire Bible Belt evangelical. What's that one show? It's not Righteous Gemstones ass money pump behind them. So whatever for Liberty. But yeah, now I think, Zeus, I want to get your opinions on this. We're going to switch over, still talk a little rankings, but get more into the SEC rankings. And I don't know if you've had a chance to look at this, Zeus, but we could be in tune for absolute chaos in the SEC.
I talked about it last week. I have no clue who's going to be in that title game. And so many teams play each other coming up. It's going to be... I mean, it's going to be wild to see who ends up coming out on top. I think most people are going to say Texas, Georgia again, but I don't A&M.
And then A&M has, like, they can still blow one. Like, I mean, they're still literally undefeated in conference. So depending on who they lose to, they can still drop a game. They have a loss. They have the win over LSU, which is crucial. And they play Texas at the end of the year. Like, so they could knock Texas out. Like, Texas can't get in with two losses at this point. Like, it's insane. You know, I would say, gun to my head, I still like Georgia getting in. I still have faith in Kirby Smart to kind of pull that team up. And then here's kind of where I differ. I think I'm choosing between, I mean, of course, I'm choosing between Texas, Tennessee, and Texas A&M. It's part of me just wants to say A&M because of the way that they're playing, but I don't know. I'll believe it when I see it with A&M.
And I know they've been down lately, but like that Tennessee plays Kentucky this week, and that Tennessee offense hasn't looked great by any stretch of the imagination the last few weeks. So like, and they still they have haven't. It's going to be, you're going to have a two-loss team in the SEC championship. I don't think there's any way around that. I just don't see it happening.
And there's a couple plays. Now, as our resident Ole Miss fan, is there still a path? Is the path there?
I think there would still be a path. They would have to, like, I guess they would have to win out. And then, like, I mean, Georgia would have two losses at that point. They don't play A&M. A lot of stuff would have to happen. LSU would have to – I don't know. LSU only has Bama, Florida, Vandy, and Oklahoma left. So I guess if you had, like, A&M won out, right, and Texas had two losses, Georgia had – everyone else has two losses. I guess it would depend on where Ole Miss was ranked. Is what they would go to. I don't know exactly.
Would it go off strength of? It'd probably go what, head to head? I mean, it'd go head to head then strength of schedule, right? Or head to head then like.
I think so. So I don't know how it would work then if like Ole Miss beats Georgia, but LSU beat Ole Miss, and then.
But LSU lost to Texas A&M.
Yeah, like, so I don't know. Just go. I don't even care about that. Just go 10-2, and you'll be in the playoff.
10-2 in the playoff. I mean, you called it before the season, Zuch, that there's going to be a scenario where there's going to be seven SEC teams that could get in, and the committee's going to let in about five of them. Yeah, like you literally called it before the season. And I mean, our preseason predictions, they reflect that. Now, we did both put either Alabama or Missouri in there on us, especially me with Missouri, on me. Wait, didn't you? Did you have Auburn in your playoff?
No, is that someone I considered. I almost had Auburn in my playoff.
That would be glad
cruel. I didn't do it. Also, while I think about it, to the man who said I have vampire teeth, enough.
Guys, we
I did laugh.
We really have appreciated the engagement over the last 2 weeks. The clips have been firing. Like I always say, let us know. Please engage whether you agree or disagree. But you know what? We danced with fire. we talked about the Burnerverse. We said the quiet parts out loud. When you talk about the Burnerverse, shit, the Burnerverse is going to talk back. That's what happened. That's what happened to both of us. Also, yeah, Auburn fans, you called it before the year two. They have been on a war path for the last 10 months now. Yeah. Online. They are going after everything and everyone.
If they could, I mean, I would be dying laughing if somehow, let me see who they, because like they're setting up for this and people don't realize it. That's going to be the game A&M loses is to Auburn. I like can just see it now. Like Auburn wins something like 23-17. A&M has like four turnovers. It's just like the most A&M thing ever. And that's what throws everything. And that's what throws everything into chaos.
Hugh Freeze saves his job. Like he says something slick about Mike Elko. Auburn fans on Twitter probably like go after Brian Harsin again for no reason. That would throw things into absolute chaos. Like seriously, absolute chaos.
Yeah, it's like, coming. I'm calling my shot for what is it? November 23rd.
23rd. Hey, we'll see.
Auburn. That's the upset.
November 23rd, is that the week right before they play Bama?
So yeah.
And then it's just the hype into the Iron Bowl. Oh, that would be nuts. That would be nuts. I'm also looking forward to seeing, this is the last thing I'll say about this SEC topic, a Hugh Freeze, Kalen DeBoer Iron Bowl, because that is just going to, usually there's one of those, how long has it been since there's been an Iron Bowl where like potentially both schools aren't playing for a chance at like to go to the SEC championship or national championship hopes. And it's just like gritty. Like it's of an egg Iron Bowl. Sorry.
I want to say like Nick Saban's first year there really, because Alabama's pretty much been in contention for the playoff at least. I mean, every year of the playoff, they were in contention for it that I can remember. Like even the, I know the one year they went 11-2 and went to the Orange Bowl or whatever. But that first year or his second year, Alabama went to the SEC title. His third year, they won the national title. Then you had Cam Newton, and then Alabama won back-to-back. And then you had the kick six, I think.
Kick six. And then the next year, the playoff starts.
Yeah, so it's like the better part of a decade at least. Like there might have been a couple years here and there that, but even that random year that with Jared Stedham that Auburn like beat Alabama and then had a rematch, I want to say with Georgia and the national championship or something. That year was weird, but Auburn had like two losses. It was the year they lost to UCF and it's like, oh, if they win this, they're in the playoffs. So like even that year was odd. So. But we might be getting it this year. Auburn's definitely not going, but
they are not. But the last thing I'll say about this is truly the last thing I'll say about the SEC, and it's a question just because my disgusting brain thought of this. If you had the who would you rather have leading your team, Nick Marshall or Jake Coker?
Nick Marshall. Nick Marshall, you can like at least design some stuff to where it's like, all right, like, yeah, he's probably not going to sit back there and hum the ball around. But legitimately with Jake Coker, you knew he was throwing the ball like 11 times. And it's like weirdest. There's 11 guys in the box. Like,
I think Jake Coker would have been a better quarterback if A, he didn't have a bowl cut, and B, he didn't have that chin strap that literally like made his like chin, like he had like the cloth chin strap from like the 70s. At least that's what I really did. He literally had like the cloth chin strap from like the 70s and had like the most, like, it was just like not, hey, the guy got won a national championship. I'm not attacking his ability to win football games and be a leader, but man, did his equipment just make him look like a schlub.
I mean, he was like a throwback to like the Bart Starr era, so. He really was.
Yes. That's funny. All right. Well, we're going to touch up on the weekend recap, a couple of the games. So, Zuch, want to get your statement on the Oklahoma versus Ole Miss game quickly. The Poo Bowl.
I got to where I kind of felt bad for the Oklahoma offense in that fourth. I don't know what. I guess they were just tired from, like, blocking that defensive line all game. But Jackson Arnold was just getting punished in that fourth quarter.
I can't wait till, like, Jackson Arnold, like, ends up starting for, like, Minnesota next year. It's going to be something stupid. It's going to be like, man, wait, Jackson Arnold's transferring to NC State? Like, that's going to happen. Well,
I thought Oklahoma did. Also, I'm getting real tired of Ole Miss just going right down the field and, like, four plays on the first drive and then just not being able to score again for the next two quarters of football. That is, like, becoming infuriating. But, I mean, I guess they didn't cover, but a win's a win. That Arkansas game, it's supposed to be, like, the most mucky, rainy game ever. That's a little bit concerning.
But I've already seen Ole Miss Burnerverse declare it as a loss. And he just screenshotted the weather app and just said incoming loss in fans. Well,
it's back to back weeks of a couple of Cody's favorite teams, Arkansas and Oklahoma.
Yeah.
He's like a huge Sam Pittman guy, like just the look of Sam Pittman is what Cody loves. So
no, we'll I think Cody...
a win's a win. Like, it's not a win you're gonna really remember anything off of, but you're like, if you're, like, looking in the future and they do something good this year, you'll be like, oh, like, yeah, I remember parts of that game. Like, Jackson Arnold was there. It was weird, but
no, I agree.
We'll see. The better question is, with two on and no out, will the Yankees actually score a run here?
I mean, we're going to find out by your reaction. I don't got a TV on right now, so we will see. We shall see. But, I mean, the other games you got Texas versus Vanderbilt. Texas snuck out with a win. That could have been big for Vanderbilt. I mean, if Vanderbilt would have beat Texas, they throw their name in the mix, like, that would have been true chaos. True chaos.
I mean, Steve Sarkisian would have gone from, like, the big man on campus to, like, you know, kind of watch yourself, like,
yeah,
like, check around corners.
Could we have gotten Waterfront Sark? Could we have gotten Waterfront Sark?
It was getting dangerously close. They also, I have no idea. I don't understand sometimes why on, like, these fourth down calls, what these coaches are doing. Like, it's like they love to roll out for some reason and take away half the field, which is what Vanderbilt did the other day. And then Diego Pavia had to, like, just throw the ball up, like, 20 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. And it gets, like, they were doing pretty good on the slants and stuff. Like, just do it. And if it doesn't work, like, you have nothing to lose. Like, at least he went forward on fourth down, though.
I like that. I don't know. I agree, especially with a guy like Diego Pavia. You know, you can run a play that's designed for him to make a read, and then if he's got a scramble, he's got a scramble, and then just trust your athletes, you know? Like,
yeah.
If he doesn't see anything and he wants to roll out, he can roll out, you know? It's just – it is what it is. Other than that, you know, Boise State, big win, kind of solidifies them as the G5 contender. Illinois, absolute schlub performance by them against Oregon. This week, you know, we've had a couple really, really good weeks in a row, and this was more of like the, okay, this is the chill week.
Yeah, it's exactly. Okay.
I mean, even the Ohio State game, like, you had Dylan Raiola looked like a freshman in that game.
He missed then, like, so many wide open. Like, I had not turned it off, but I had basically flipped over to that one. Oh, Giancarlo Stanton, did you just hit a home run? No, but you gave him the lead.
All right, okay. Boom. Boom!
He just – and that's part of – like, it was good and bad. Like, it's good that he was seeing these guys, I think, as a freshman against allegedly some really good cornerbacks. And then you have the bad of, like – and I think it is, like – you're kind of an excitable boy or whatever when you're a true freshman starting and you see somebody wide open and I'm not tough. Like, really trying to compare the two, but if you've ever been playing like recess football or outdoor football and you, like, somehow one of your friends gets wide open, it is a little bit weirder throwing the ball to them when they're like,
you almost try to like float open. It and like, yeah, yeah, you like never want to.
You
yeah,
think
no,
about
I
it too much.
I totally get it. Yeah.
I thought it was a even though it was like their 9 millionth loss by one score in the past 4 years, I do think that it was like usually Ohio State. Yeah, Ohio State was winning that game like 56-7, stuff like that. And coming off that getting drubbed by Illinois, it was Illinois, or was it Indiana? One of the two. Indiana. I can't remember. Indiana. They, no one really thought they were going to compete, and they did, and like kept it as close as they could. Their offense just couldn't, you know, couldn't get it done. And that's,
yeah,
I think that's partially QB, but partially I think they just still need some playmakers there.
They do.
Matt Rhule will get them, I think, but
I mean, it's a multiple year rebuild. I mean, you have to assume that they're probably, are they bowl eligible yet? They one went away from being bowl eligible.
I think one went away.
I mean, you got to hope they get that, because if they don't, then it's like Matt Rhule hot seat next year for sure.
Oh,
but, you know, if they get bowl eligible, then it's like they're making progress. And hey, Nebraska football is sleeping giant. So we'll see. All right. We are going to move on to the reoccurring segment, The List, where we find tweets and other social media posts in the Burnerverse, not the Burnerverse, that, you know, like I've always said, we are just reporters. We do not condone these. We do not support nor condone these tweets. We are objectively just presenting them to you because this is what we see in our algorithms. This is the underbelly of college football. This is what makes college football, is fans like these. So I know I went first last week. So Zuch, the floor is yours. What did you find this week?
I have a couple. The first one is from, he has a different name now. It's Jameis season. It was Osama bin Day. And
oh no.
He like loves Jameis Winston, but he, I'm guessing, is an Ohio State fan because he has a picture of the January 6th stuff at the Capitol and just has a picture pointing at a random person in the crowd and has circled Ryan Day's photo saying that he was at the January 6th one.
List.
Definitely.
That is the definition of the list right there.
Yeah. I think that one's going to be on yours, so I'm not going to say that one. I have one that was it had to be put on the list. We're in the middle of the World Series. It was Hoodie Breezy, and he said, Dodgers need this man right now to save Ohtani. And it was a picture or a video of what's the guy's name in The Karate Kid?
Don't tell me it was Mr. Miyagi.
Mr. Miyagi.
Oh,
doing the,
no.
After Ohtani.
Oh, no.
Hurt his shoulder. And last but not least, and by far the worst one, and we do not condone this at all, it was from a Clemson fan. So, Dabo, watch your people. It said, Kirk, let's go back to Holly Rowe on the sideline, Holly, and then a picture of a pig.
Yeah, no, I saw that one. That one's up there with, like, the one last week with the Charlie Weiss, the Holly Rowe. Which the Holly Rowe slander needs to stop. I think she does a fine job on the sidelines. She's a good reporter. Why? And you already know that Clemson fan is just like you said, Dabo needs to get control of Tiger Nation over there in Clemson. But yeah, so I have two additions to the list. I don't know if I had yours or not, Zuch, but the first one comes from at Nikki Perks, and it's a video of Brian Kelly yelling at a kicker, but it's dubbed over, and the fake quote is, I swear to God, I'll send you up in a scissor lift during a tornado if you do that again. After the LSU kicker or the long snapper messed up the snap. List. Yeah. You just cannot happen, especially with Brian Kelly. Just not okay. Then the second one, it was actually from a couple tweets this weekend, and I can't even read them, and I'm not going to read them because I know I said I don't support nor condone. These ones I do condone. I do condone them. I mean, they're a little funny, but I can't say them because they're just bad. Archibald Manning, the account Archibald Manning, you are officially under surveillance.
He needs to be under surveillance. He has been, you know.
Archibald Manning has been on a tear.
What do they call those people that just like float things out there to cause a ruckus. That is.
He's an instigator. He's an instigator. Archibald Manning on Twitter has been all over my timeline. A couple other funny ones, not list worthy, but I have at the Warmonger, and it's just it was during Game 4 of the World Series, and it just says, "I think this is a must-win game for the Yankees," with just the worst looking picture of John Smoltz. Insinuating that John Smoltz.
Like, he was great on the Braves. I like John Smoltz.
I like John Smoltz too. I thought that was a cheap shot of John Smoltz. I think he does a fine job calling the World Series games. But yeah, that's the list this week. And ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be recording this show probably a day after the election. So just be prepared. Yeah. Just be prepared. Because it will, we will probably not be able to read some, honestly, like it might be the complete opposite. Like, we might not be able to get like the funny burniverse stuff as usual. It could just be like vitriol, which is what I'm not hoping for.
And so the issue, part of the issue too, with why the list could be good or bad is politicians don't really know how social media works somehow still to this day, and they will continue to do stuff that will be used by the burniverse. I've already seen it, and it is whatever Joe Biden said yesterday about the trash. People are like, oh, they're just taking that part of it where he said, like, the only trash I see is his supporters, and they're like putting it as like dubbed into something about Alabama or Georgia. Yeah. Or like, they just don't realize everything you say will be on Twitter, and it will be used against you. Just so you,
I've seen,
and
that.
Also refrain from crying if you're at one of these. Well, I don't even know what they call them. Like, they're where rallies, they have their, yeah, but like where they have their
watch parties. It's like watch,
yeah,
parties.
Like watch parties and stuff. Refrain from crying because you will be memed. So we're just looking out for people on both sides. You know, go vote for who you think is best. Do not cry at the rally because you will be memed. And
do not cry at the rally. I have already seen, like you said, these politicians. And I mean, Tim Walz, man, he played video games. Another one I saw, it was Tim Walz playing a video game, and it was like him. It was I don't know if it was NCAA, but someone already, he was like, the tweet was something like, come watch like Tim Walz play like college football. And someone like quote tweeted like, yeah, because smack, like, because putting this smack dab in the middle of the witching hour, no thanks.
Yeah. Like, and then, you know, just, and he had to delete it. You got to fire this, and then we'll get off this. You got to fire the staffer who said Kamala runs a mean pick six. You just got to, you know, just
the mean
go to a college. And go to, like, just go to the dorms, knock on the door and be like, you're a 19-year-old kid. Do you like sports? Yeah, I love football. All right. Think of a tweet about NCAA and we'll pay you $2,000 to give us a good tweet. Like, you got to stop. Bring some people in who, like, you're just, that's all I'll say. You're going to get memed if you aren't careful.
The guy's a state championship winning coach. The guy can coach. Brought the four. What did he bring? He brought the 4-4 to Minnesota or something like that. Like, he was running. He was like running the 4-4 like he was, gosh dang, Bill Walsh, like reinventing offense. I mean, he was running the 4-4. Hey, as someone who ran the 4-4 myself, great defense, by the way. Great defense.
You know, it's like they don't think about it. Don't put that stuff on stream. We know what the comments are on stream. I clicked on it for 2 seconds. And the first comment I saw was, hey, coach, what do you think of Jerry Sandusky? And I was like, all right, getting off. you take the comments off if you're going to do something like that. Like, just, we got to think this stuff through. You know, it's kind of like the Bears cornerback the other day who was like taunting the fans before the Hail Mary. Just think in your head, you know, go over there after. I know you think you've won, but worst case scenario, they catch a Hail Mary, and they did, and now you just get memed all the time. So
yeah, no, please listen to the In the End Zone boys, who I'm sure will have a lot to talk about that. But all right, sweet. We are going to start to wrap this up and talk about a couple of big games next week. And the big one is the one in the morning, Zuch, tomorrow. We got Penn State versus Ohio State. What are your thoughts going into this game? What do each team kind of need to do, you think, to come out victorious?
Well, Penn State has to, and they haven't done it yet, prove that they have a competent offense. I still have not seen that this year. I know they've looked somewhat better. Like, they were just flat out bad.
How do you feel about them using more of the 2QB system? I forget his name, but the one other guy that's in there, a little bit more athletic, a little bit less accurate, but he seems to be able to run the ball a little bit better than Aller.
I mean, I think you almost have to just, like, I don't know. Like, it's – Penn State is just – this is a game for them that they have to prove that they're not – the same old Penn State that we've gotten accustomed to basically since James Franklin has been coaching there, which has been 9-3, 10-2, probably going to lose to Ohio State if they're good, probably going to lose to Michigan if they're good. You'll beat the Wisconsins and like Maryland, all the lower drudge of the Big Ten. You'll beat them. You might somehow lose one of them every once in a while. And you'll be like, worst case, you'll be in like the Outback Bowl. Best case, you'll be in the Peach Bowl, like they were last year. So it's really a big game for both those coaches, because if Ohio State loses,
they're out.
They're not going to the Big Ten championship.
Indiana's undefeated, and then Penn State will still be undefeated with undefeated Oregon. I saw, like a graphic, and it was like the irresistible force meeting the immovable object. And because James Franklin, what is it, 1-9 versus Ohio State, Michigan, Ryan Day, like 2-6 versus top five teams or something like that. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's
both coaches need that. I mean, Ryan Day lost the Oregon game. I know they won last week. Whatever. Nebraska's mediocre at best. Both those coaches really, really do need that game, because you're not getting a top six seed if you're Ohio State and you lose that game. And you,
no way.
Like, you could still make the playoff if you're a Penn State. But, I mean, if Penn State wins this game, they have Washington, Purdue, Minnesota, and Maryland. So, like,
you're
Penn State, you win this game, you are
cruising the Big Ten championship.
It's you and Oregon. Like,
yeah,
you should not lose any of those games coming up, but I guess we'll see.
I 100% agree. I mean, I lean Ohio State in this game, even though is this game in Happy Valley?
Yes.
That makes it interesting, but I do think that Ohio State, I lean Ohio State just because I think I trust their offense more. I think Ohio State's offense is less dependent on the QB, if that makes sense. The weapons that they have. But, I mean, make no joke, like, that Penn State defense is legit. Also, shame on the Big Ten for not allowing this to be the wideout. Shame. You don't, like, someone at Penn State couldn't have just thrown a huge stink, paid whatever fine, just say, we don't care about the Fox money. Just, like, give us, like, shit, we'll play this game on FS1. We don't care. Like, it's just it's a shame this isn't the whiteout game. As someone who hates Penn State, it's a shame that it's not the whiteout game.
It should be a night game. Like, you learn from what LSU did a couple weeks ago. Night games are a better environment. I like the 10 a.m. games too. I'm not saying I don't, but
it's great for TV watching.
It is the biggest. It is the biggest game in your coach's history at this, and James Franklin's history at Penn State. Not the biggest in Penn State history, but his biggest game since he's been there. It is a win, and you have like a 99.9% chance of going to the Big Ten championship game, because you'd have to lose twice at that point, unless Indiana won out, I guess. But make it a night game and let it be the whiteout. Like, I don't even understand how it's not the whiteout. Like, I think it's
TV contracts and stuff, but like I said, just there's not one person there that can just throw a stink and be like, I don't care if we receive less money. Like, there's not – I don't know. I don't get TV contracts, so I'm not one to, like, completely judge, but I don't know. I really like if honestly, if Penn State was playing at night, I probably would lean Penn State. If I'm just being completely honest with you, just off vibes. Like just off vibes, I'd probably go Penn State if they were playing at night, but they're not. This has all the makings of like some like 24 to 20 game in the fourth quarter, and Ohio State goes on a 9-minute drive and scores a touchdown.
I'm leaning Ohio State because, well, I think the Ohio State offense has shown that it's not, you know, how it's been in the past where they're, you know, going to score 70 points a game, stuff like that. When I do still think when their offensive is bad, if they have a bad game, kind of like the Nebraska game, still 24 points, like not what you want, but still enough points to win a football game. Penn State still kind of to me, if they have a bad game on offense, it goes from, you know, 30 points a game to 13 points or less. Like mm-hmm. That's just how it's kind of how they've been in the past. And I know they have the new OC and stuff like that, but we'll see. We shall see. But I'm leaning Ohio State too in this one.
No, I 100% feel that. And we will see. We will see. That's for sure. We're going to briefly touch on SMU Pitt. And I'm calling this game a loser slightly leaves town game. I don't know if I believe in either of these teams. Is that fair to say? I think Pitt's played a weak close schedule, and I don't know if I'm all the way bought in on SMU. I might be a little more bought in on SMU than I am Pitt. But they just – every SMU game I watch, I'm like, wow, this team is freaking loaded. But, like, I just never see them – I feel like I'm never seeing SMU play to their full potential, if that makes sense, in every game I've watched them.
Yeah, and, like, I watched – what was it, week zero, I guess, when they played Nevada? Like,
yep.
They didn't look great then, and I haven't watched a ton of them lately, but they got killed by BYU, right? That's their loss. They lost mm-hmm. by, like, 20 or so to BYU.
Yeah.
So, I don't – this feels like, I mean, it's going to be hilarious. One of these teams ends up winning the ACC and is like a 4 seed, but this feels like the gets killed by Clemson or Miami in the ACC championship.
Yeah. Do either of these teams play Clemson or Miami in the regular season?
Let me look real quick.
Because if they don't, that can make things super interesting.
Oh, well, Clay Holmes, 4-pitch walk. Wonderful. Just immediately has not thrown a strike and 5 pitches, all balls. So SMU has, after this, SMU plays BC, Virginia, and Cal.
Holy moly. Give me a break, ACC.
And Pittsburgh.
Holy moly.
Pittsburgh plays Virginia, Clemson, Louisville, and BC.
Okay, so
ACC is pathetic.
They are quite pathetic, and they're somehow going to get 3 teams in, and it's going to box like the Big 12 out, which deserves it. It'll be Clemson, Miami, and then whichever one of these teams win, this is what it's going to come down to, probably.
Yeah, that's just insane to me. Like, and even like Clemson might get, or no, Clemson, I don't even know how it's going to work out. I guess.
With these mega conferences, I think this is just going to become more of a trend because, you know, you don't play these round robin schedules anymore. You're going to have these weird, like, I think it's an unintended consequence of these mega conferences is that you're not going to have like those automatic like get-ins. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because you could have three teams. Clemson doesn't play Miami. So you could like... You could have 3 teams in the undefeated. So I guess it would be Clemson and Miami at that point because they're ranked higher. But
yeah, but then SMU's like, yeah, it'd be interesting. Definitely be interesting. But I think I'm leaning SMU in this game. I don't know. I kind of believe in their talent a little bit more, and I don't want to support Fat Narduzzi.
He's turned it around. He was on a boiling seat last year and. He is now, for the love of God, throw a strike. He is now turned it around.
Yeah, he has. We are going to bring up, since there wasn't a ton of ranked matchups, I each tasked us with finding a trap game that we think could be a trap game for a team. So this is a ranked team or not ranked team that could potentially work its way up that we think might be in for some trouble this week. And I'm going to go first. I passed the obvious SEC one. Did you have an SEC game as your trap game?
No, I actually have an ACC one after mocking the conference for 15 minutes.
Okay, so then I'm going to briefly touch on like the obvious one, what a lot of people would say is the A&M SC game. I actually believe that A&M is going to show up in this game. I know South Carolina is really, really good. They're going to be up for this game. I think
they're shooting themselves in the foot over that LSU loss.
Yeah, no, that was.
That is their version of Ole Miss's Kentucky loss. Because if South Carolina, I mean, and I guess the Alabama one too a little bit, but that either one of those, if South Carolina had won one of those games, they would like have a decent shot at making the playoff. And that's what I understand that championship games are important, but I don't know. Like, of course I would want Ole Miss to win the SEC championship, but if you told me that they were going to go 10-2 at the beginning of the year and make the playoff and not win the SEC, I'd be like, that's fine with me. You're in the playoff. Like, that's great. And South Carolina, if they could have just turned one of those around and your only losses are either Ole Miss and Alabama or Ole Miss and LSU, I'm sorry. I'm confusing myself now. They lost to South Carolina, lost to LSU, Ole Miss, and Alabama. So if their only losses were, yeah, I was right, Ole Miss and LSU, or Ole Miss, because they lost by like 20 to Ole Miss and Alabama. That's two top 25 teams you've lost to, so.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally feel that. The trap game I chose is actually Indiana versus Michigan State. You would think this spread is bigger. As of today, October 30th, it's only an 8-point spread. That's a single score. And it's in Michigan State. I think this has trap game written all over it for Indiana. Coming off a big college game day, playing a Michigan State team that's not good, but they're not terrible. This is not a terrible football team. So I think this could be a potential trap spot for Indiana.
What do you think about, because I almost put this one on there, and it's because I think they kind of have some strength to match up where Oregon is the best at. Like this Oregon Michigan game, I think Oregon's probably going to win, but it's at the big house. Oh, and Michigan's
looking at that one too.
I don't necessarily think that like Michigan's offense is really, really bad. There's no getting around that Michigan's offense is bad. But with that being said, I do think that they play a certain style, like kind of almost like BSU did, if that makes sense, where it's like, all right, like you don't really have to worry about them throwing the ball. I mean, Maddox Mattson completed like 35% of his passes or whatever it was. But Michigan's D-line is probably better than Boise State's defensive line, at least in terms of size and athleticism and stuff like that. And their corners are really good. So I think I would say that could be a trap game. But number one overall one is the Duke-Miami one, because it's at 10 a.m. Really? Like Duke's 6-2. They're not horrible. And Miami for the last few weeks to me has been teetering on that. To me, always teams that win these games like 45-38. Like we've seen it before, you know, with a lot of times it's in the Big 12, though. Mm-hmm. Like, if I look at their schedule, like the last few weeks, they've allowed 34, 38, 45, and then they played Florida State last week, who has like the worst offense in the nation.
I mean, that's a JV school, so.
Yeah. So, to me, teams like that who, you know, you've seen it with like Texas Tech before, or Baylor, Oklahoma a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually a game comes around where you have a couple turnovers and you end up losing like 55-28 because your defense can't, like Miami's defense just isn't good. I don't know
or not
how to say it.
They allow too many explosive plays.
Yeah, and like that, playing like that, eventually it catches up to you. Like it's, you know, it's kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum we were talking about earlier with Penn State, where it's like, oh yeah, well, like we beat Illinois 21-7 again. Well, eventually you're going to play an offense who is going to score against you. And even if your defense is top two in the nation, they're not going to hold everyone under 10 points. So that's mine. I think it could end up being a really good weekend of football. I know it's not got like the glamour that a lot of weeks have. But like Texas Tech, game. Iowa State is an interesting
That one too. Yep.
That's an interesting one. A&M, South Carolina. I think Kentucky, Tennessee is a little bit interesting. We'll see.
Saw that too.
Ole Miss lost that game. I don't know how that happened.
World's largest cocktail party, rivalry game. You never know. Like
Sunbelt Billy trying to save his job. Liberty lost again yesterday. I didn't even realize that.
Liberty played on a Tuesday?
Yeah.
They lost to Jacksonville State.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the whole schedule right now. And I didn't even realize they played yesterday.
Man, that's so funny. Jamie Chadwick was getting interviews with SEC schools last year, and now he's losing to Rich Rod. Is Jamie Chadwick just the coach version of Matt Barkley?
He is leaning that way right now.
Remember that, Matt Barkley? Man, I love this school. I love being in college so much. and then they went unranked. All time.
I should have gotten
all-time fail moment.
That one was bad. That was under Lane Kiffin. I legitimately, when they lost that Kentucky game, that like went through my mind. I was like, oh God, please don't tell me that they're about to go from like preseason top five to 7-6. That would be the worst.
Yeah,
well, I got to get Cody's thoughts on Oklahoma versus Maine. and I'm trying to look. Like a lot of these games don't really matter. It's weird. I don't know if you saw this, but there's like no games after 5 o'clock. It's like when the last games kick off or 6 o'clock.
I saw that. It was, but I like think that Nevada game, right?
Yeah. The last game of the day is Colorado State, Nevada at 6 o'clock.
Did you think that
was because of, in case you had a Yankees Dodgers game 7 of the World Series, like if you really think about it, you're not going to put that on Fox. Like it's just, sorry to all the fans of whatever team out there, G5-wise.
Yankees Dodgers is going on Fox.
Yankees Dodgers is going on Fox, and you didn't have, like with the way things shaped out and like the new TV contracts and stuff like that, I don't think you really had anything to go up against it anyway. Like you didn't want to put a big game on there when you could put it earlier in the day and be fine. Like just don't even risk it. Like it's probably not going to happen anyways, but let game 7 of the World Series get played, then baseball's over, and then nothing. I mean, I guess you have the NBA and NHL regular seasons, but Saturdays are yours for until like the wild card, because there's a couple wild card games that are always on Saturday. But
that's going to be an interesting discussion. Like now that we're kind of off the game discussions, is people might have to choose between. No, never mind. I thought there was a scenario where people would have to choose like college playoff games over an NFL, but I was just having a total brain fart. So I'll move on. We are going to move on to the last reoccurring segment. We always do it. One of our original segments, the meme matchup of the week, where we find just a funny, funny matchup. Zooch, I think you went first last week. I'll go first this week. And this one, Zooch, is another absolute classic that I won't be watching, and I would love to get the viewership of this game for. It is the one-win UMass versus the one-win Mississippi State Bulldogs.
This
could be the worst game of the year on paper, and I'm not joking. In terms of uniform matchups too, these teams have the same color scheme, the same, and this is going to be a gross game. And I know a lot of times with the meme matchup, I'm like, oh, it's so bad it's good. Like I remember last year a lot with Iowa, it's like, haha, look at how funny it is to watch Iowa. Like this one, I don't think I could sit through, if like, unless you're a UMass or Mississippi State fan. There's 1,000 people watching this game. There's going to be more people in the stadium watching this game than there is on TV.
I am, and this might, people can question my fandom. I don't care. I don't need to explain my fandom to anyone. I am a big hater of people who, like, for example, you like the San Francisco Giants. If the San Francisco Giants are 30 and 70 and you're not watching the games, you know, the people who are like, well, you know, I was watching when Bartolo Colon was pitching and the Giants were 51 and 81. Like, you're not a real fan. No, I just have better stuff to do, which that's what I'm saying about this game. If I was a fan of one of those teams, I simply would just not go to the game. I just wouldn't. I would be like, you know what? Like, what benefit? I guess, like, it's a little bit different with college because you, like, support, like, you don't want guys to transfer and whatnot now. But it's, I don't know. I definitely wouldn't watch it on TV. I would keep up with it. I'm not saying I wouldn't keep up with it, but
if you had a multiple TV setup, this is going in like the corner only if you're like a Mississippi State fan or something like that. You just like, keep the game in the corner. Just let it go. Zooch. What is your main matchup?
My main matchup is actually this Texas Tech versus Iowa State game.
Really?
It is, because it's given me that feel of that classic Big 12. Like, for example, that, do you remember the year Kansas State was like number two and they went to play like Baylor the year after Baylor had RG3? Yes. And Kansas State was like undefeated and lost like 59-24.
Yeah.
That's just, that is kind of what the Big 12 does to itself. It's like your team will be like undefeated, like you'll have a couple undefeated teams, and then they just get like steamrolled by somebody for like no apparent reason. You're like, all right, I don't know why.
So what you're saying, is that Iowa State is going to end up playing a team like Oregon and they're going to take the opening kickoff back and you're going to go, okay, they're going to lose by 48 points.
Well, it's just, and it's just hilarious. Iowa State is, in all likelihood, if Iowa State wins this game, they're going to be number four in the first poll for the college football playoff, like, which is just hilarious to think about. It's either
Rocco Becht, man, and Matt Campbell. Just how quickly things changed. What was it, 1 or 2 years ago, he was yelling at fans at a Matt game. Remember that, when he was yelling at that fan at a Matt game for talking shit to him? And now he's got his guys playing tough, dude. Rocco Becht, you know, Iowa State, you always forget about Iowa State. You know, they have a
Iowa State, you could legitimately, when it comes to those, that program sports, you could tell me that for the last, since the year 2000, Iowa State has been anywhere between 4-8 and 8-5 every year. And the basketball program has gone anywhere between like 13-17 and 19-14. And I'd be like, yeah, that like checks out, because every time, and you know it for a fact, every time you like go to fill out a bracket, you're like, oh, Iowa State, 7 seed, 19.
They're always playing like, shit, Iowa State got like lined up against a tough VCU team. Right. Tough VCU team at the 10 right here.
Every single year, and you're like, oh, like, and it's that game you always see them, like, when the conference tournaments start in basketball, and we all know how it is. It's like a couple weeks into March or whatever, and you're like, a lot of times you might have a trip plan or something like that. So it'll be like a Thursday morning. You might be at the office, whatever. And you're like, oh, sweet. Like, we have sports on all day today. It's a Big 12 quarterfinals. And you'll be like,
yeah,
wait a minute. Iowa State is like number 24, but they're 8-10 in the Big 12. Like, that's exactly how it goes.
They have some guy who apparently is like a lottery pick, but he's like averaging like just over 10 points. It's like, how is this guy like going to get drafted like 20 overall or something like that?
That is what that program does well. So I'm happy for Iowa State. I hope they don't get killed by, what's his name, Matt Wells.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Isn't it Joey Harrington at Texas Tech? Or is he the OC there?
Let's see. Maybe Matt Wells got fired.
No, not Joey Harrington. Joey McGuire. Joey Harrington's Oregon. I'm getting my Joey's mixed up.
Okay, just take me. Yeah, Joey McGuire. Matt Wells is there for him.
Matt Wells. That guy, all-time I don't know. I was going to say all-time loser, but he probably wasn't an all-time loser. He's probably an okay coach. I don't know. Yeah, Texas Tech is the weirdest program in the country because it's like a huge school in Texas. This is the last thing I'll say before I let you have your final thoughts. I don't know why Texas Tech isn't better at
football. I don't either. Other than the fact that, like, oh my God, the Lubbock's like in the middle of nowhere and there's just so many big schools there.
In Texas, yeah, I guess so.
Well, that's all I have. Now I'm just going to go. Dodgers have two men on and no outs. So yeah. In the top of the eighth.
I appreciate it. Like I said, thank you all for listening. Thank you all for engaging on our content. It really, really means a lot. Make sure you give us a like and subscribe to the channel. Give us a follow on the YouTube. Give us a follow on the TikTok. Everything at Settle Down. It really means a lot. When a lot of people view our content, which they have the last couple weeks, really, really makes a difference because we not only do it to give us an outlet, but we do it to give you guys something to enjoy because we really, really enjoy making it. Zuch, anything else for us?
Nothing else. Enjoy. Just pick a game and watch it this weekend because there could be a lot of good ones, especially if like Ohio State starts killing Penn State. Just throw a random one on and watch some exciting football.
This is why they make the YouTube TV quad box. All right, guys. Thanks again, and we will see you next week.